Well, thank you. It's really great to be here with you. I'm going to be sharing a word from the same scripture that I used at 8 a.m. in the nave this morning, but it's a word that actually you've been on my heart as I've been preparing that word. So let me ask you a question. How would you like to have all wisdom? Would you like to have all wisdom? Yeah. Oh, you're not. Come on, more exciting than that. Yes. Good. How would you like to know the mind and the thoughts of God? Wouldn't that be amazing? Well, by the end of this sermon, you will. Because I'm going to explain to you all the mysteries of faith. I'm going to reveal to you the hidden secrets of God. Okay? Good. I'm going to impart to you so much wisdom that all your doubts are going to vanish and you are going to be totally convinced of the person of God and have no more doubts whatsoever, okay? Yes. I'm going to give you so much wisdom that we are going to go out and take control of the nave, because I've heard the service pastor there is not very good, okay? And then we're going to take this wisdom out into the world. And we're going to take Singapore, okay? And then we're going to rise up together and we're going to take Asia. And then we're going to rise up together and we're going to take the world. And I am going to be the president. Are you with me? Yes. Now you're thinking, who is that crazy clergyman that they've invited here? The Bible passage I'm going to read to you now, Paul did not come trying to motivate the church or to preach the gospel in such a crass way as that. You know that word crass? That was not the best way to be speaking. Listen to what Paul said. These are very wise words. He said, and he's speaking to the Corinthian church, but speaking to us as well. He said, when I came to you, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my message were not implausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Paul here is considering the really important issues of wisdom and power and the gospel message of Christ. And these were real issues at the time of Paul. And in fact, these are real issues in our world today. And I want to think about that a little bit as we go through. And the first thing I want to draw out from the context of our passage is about wisdom. Who's clicking, me or did I do that? Okay, we're going to be thinking about wisdom, power, and our Christian witness, okay? Now, the Greek culture in which Paul was living and speaking to in our passage was a world which prized philosophical talk. It prized wisdom and knowledge. There were many, many deep thinkers. There were many professional orators. There were those that went around giving great speeches. And they were having public debates on important issues like religion and politics and morals and morality. And this was an ordinary part of life at the time of St. Paul in ancient Greece. And Paul encountered this when he was out preaching firsthand. And we read about this in Acts chapter 17. Paul went off to a place, to Athens, a place where the philosophers were there. And he began to debate with them in the marketplace. He sort of went to talk with the philosophers on their home turf, so to speak. And so he went and started to preach. So what did they think of Paul? When we read on in Acts chapter 17, this is what they said. What is this babbler saying? You know what babble means? Mixed up nonsense. Speak to your neighbour. Say babble, babble. Go on, don't be shy. Babble, babble. They said he's just a babbler. He's speaking nonsense. That's what they thought of the great Apostle Paul. So did this mean that every time Paul preached, he was babbling nonsense? Did it mean that he stopped preaching because people thought he was speaking nonsense? Of course not. Does this mean that every time that I preach, I am babbling nonsense? And so we should have no more preaching in church? And you're probably sitting there thinking, that sounds like a good idea. But more to the point, does it mean that we as Christians, or you as a Christian, should stop speaking of the Christian message because people might think we are speaking nonsense? And you know, very often we don't speak of the message of the cross, we don't speak of Christ, because we're fearful that people will think that we are foolish, that we are babblers, that we do not know what we're talking about, so we keep quiet. Isn't that right? I think it is. So did Paul stop preaching the gospel after his discouragement? No, he looked to the wisdom of God, the main point speaking about today. As we continue reading on in Acts chapter 17, we come across this great story where Paul has been told, "Ah, you're a babbler." So he's sort of walking around, and he suddenly comes across an altar with this inscription on it. And it said, "To the unknown God." And then he had some revelation, some wisdom from God. And so he went back into the marketplace. He went back to where the philosophers were. And he stood up and he said, "Can you see that altar over there with that inscription, to the unknown God? Well, I am come to tell you about the God that you can know." What an inspiration. What an amazing message. And he went on to preach the gospel from that. And that became a city and nation-changing message. The God you can know. Europe was evangelized at that point. Should we stop speaking of Christ and our faith because it can sometimes be hard to do so? No. We should be able to speak boldly and confidently and not be ashamed. Do not be ashamed of the gospel, Paul also said. But how do we do it? We should always do it carefully and sensitively and with thought, not like I began to at the beginning of the service. It's not usually a very good idea to get a chair out in your lounge in your front room when your family are there and stand on it and start to preach the gospel to your family. Probably doesn't go down very well. I know when I first became a Christian, I came back becoming a Christian so excited, I sat my mum and dad down and made them listen to a 45-minute tape on how you must be born again. And they thought I'd gone absolutely crazy. And thankfully, it didn't frighten them away because they eventually did become Christians. But we have to witness carefully and thoughtfully. It's not a good idea to get on a chair outside your HDB block and start to preach. Doesn't go down very well nowadays. Not a very good idea to do it in your classroom, is it? Probably not. We need to ask God for his wisdom. We need for him to give us the opportunities. And that's really the question I want to bring to you. Are you open to the opportunities that God brings your way to then speak of your faith? And then through our weakness, through our vulnerability, we can see God's power at work. I remember when I was a fairly new Christian. I was in my mid-20s when I became a Christian, so most of you at that sort of age. And I was at work, and I was chatting with a new university student, and who were just working there part-time. And I was plucking up courage as a new Christian to share my faith with him and wanted to chat to him about my faith. And so I'd learned to, you know, pray and ask God for wisdom by this point. And suddenly as I'm thinking, I'm chatting away with him, I suddenly started to think, oh, maybe that he's got an eating disorder. And it was like, oh, I wonder if that's a revelation from God. So I thought, okay, so as I'm chatting away with him, I said, hey, Stuart, how are you doing, mate? You seem to be losing weight. And he then opened right up to me. He was really struggling under a lot of pressure, under a lot of stress, and was actually with an eating disorder. And he was getting very, very skinny and very, very weak. Just a couple of days later, he was in London. And oh, by the way, and I just prayed with him. I had the opportunity to pray with him there and then as I was speaking with him. Just a couple of days later, he's in London. He walks past a church. It's an Anglican church called St. Mark's in Kennington. And he just felt that he should go in. The first time he'd ever been in church in his life. He walked into the church and he walked out a Christian, filled with the Spirit and healed from his eating disorder. He graduated from university. He joined the army, professional army in the UK. He trained. He then became this little skinny guy that I first knew. He became a fitness and skiing instructor for the UK Special Armed Services, the SAS. What a turnaround in his life. In our witness, we need God's wisdom. And then we share out of his power. And we've just been talking about Alpha. And when I turned round, I don't know what happened when Harley first asked you to put your hands up, but when I turned my head around, I saw no hands up. Were there any hands that went up? There were. Good. So let me see again. Who's coming to Alpha? It's on Wednesday. Oh, fantastic. I'm going because I've got to lead it. Who's bringing a friend to Alpha? You got a friend, Holly? Oh, wow. You got two friends. Wow. Alpha is there for you to bring friends to. It's the way the church gives you an opportunity to be able to share your faith. So you haven't got to stand on a chair and witness to your family and to preach. You bring them to Alpha. You bring your friends to Alpha. You bring your school friends, your uni mates, your workmates. Why not even now be asking the Lord, who can I invite to Alpha? Who can I bring along? They might need you to come with them to encourage them and to sit with them. Let me challenge you. Who can you bring? And if not this Alpha, the next Alpha. Let's be bold in our witnessing for Christ. Yes, we're weak, but God is powerful. So I'm now going to come away and think about another topic within our text. Oh, Alpha is for everybody, done that. I want to think about the source of wisdom and power. What time have I got to finish? Okay, try not to be too long. Thinking about the source of wisdom and power. There is a wisdom of God that we can know, and I'm going to talk about that at the end. But first, Paul, in the passage that we're thinking about, talks about what wisdom is not. And he asks some very probing questions in this passage about what wisdom do we listen to and what wisdom are we trusting in. And he says it in this way. He says, are we listening to and trusting in the wisdom of men and the wisdom of this age and the wisdom of this world? Now, throughout the centuries, there have been many wise men and women, of course. And there have been some wonderful, motivating and inspirational speeches and people that have inspired nations. I don't know, when I say inspirational speeches and motivational people, who do you think of? Have a little think. I don't know if you've thought of anybody. Just ask your neighbor. Hey, who did you think of? Who did you think of? Did anybody come to mind? Inspirational, motivational speakers. People were wise. I'm not sure. Anyone want to own up and share a name with me? Did you say Harley? Yeah. Okay, the name that came into my mind was somebody called Winston Churchill. Winston Churchill, the Prime Minister of the UK. I'm a Brit, I'm from England. Prime Minister during the Second World War. He made many, many inspirational speeches which were part of keeping the war going and us being able to defeat enemies. So he said, one of his speeches, "We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be." Do you know this? He said, "We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields. We shall fight in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. And we shall never, ever, 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 ever surrender." That was amongst the other big speech, of course. Inspirational. He also had other wise sayings. He said this, "Courage is what it takes to stand up and speak. Courage is also what it takes to sit down and listen." But I've always been inspired by civil rights leaders. So when I think, I then think of, you know who this is? Do you know this speech? "I Have a Dream." Martin Luther King Jr., of course. Inspired my generation. Perhaps one of the most well-known post-war speeches in the West. Let me read you a bit of it. He said, "I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed, that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal." That was part of his speech. As he said that, somebody in the crowd shouted out, "Tell us your dream." And then he went off of his notes. For about 5 minutes, he talked about his dream. And part of it said this. He says, "I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia," sorry, get emotional, ought to touch you, you know, these things. "The red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will one day be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi," this is where there was terrible racism, listen to this language, "a state sweltering with the heat of injustice and oppression will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice." He went on after other parts. "I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. And I have a dream," and he went on and on. This is Christian faith in action. "I have a dream." I was thinking about in the East, Gandhi. Did anybody think of Gandhi? Very wise man. Full of sayings, "Be the change that you want to see in the world. Make a difference." He said, "The best way to find yourself is to lose yourself in the service of others." Amazing wisdom. Maybe in Singapore, you thought of your founder. Inspiring a nation with a whole new vision and a whole new way of being in the world. And look at your nation now. Inspirational, motivational, wise. But where is the wise man today? And a question I want to ask is, where is truth? Thank you. What is your name? You led the prayers? Julie. Great prayer about not being comfortable. This is not going to be comfortable. Where is truth? Today, the people that form opinion are not particularly like Winston Churchill or Martin Luther King. Opinion formers dominate the media, celebrities, newscasters, marketing gurus. These are who are forming opinion nowadays. And I want us to think carefully about what we read and what wisdom we take in. Because I don't think there's a lot of wisdom around in the world today at times. Now, social media is the thing that carries all of this. First, I want to say something positive about social media. Because social media has got the ability to report atrocities and abuse in places where freedom of press is held down. So places like Syria, places like Iran, places where terrible things happen. You know about the Arab Spring. That was all fueled by the truth coming out through social media. A very, very powerful thing. So I'm not against social media. But not everything in social media is good and right, of course. And we've just witnessed, I'm going to get a little bit political with you here, we've just witnessed a new phase in public debates. I'm connecting this because we're going back to the philosophies of the time that Paul was preaching. We've just entered a new phase of public debates, all in the last year. And it's evident in the politics of the West. So I don't know how political you are. And I don't know how much you saw on social media or on the TV about Brexit. Do you know what Brexit is? Good, some heads nodding. Yeah, Britain leaving the European Union. And I guess you've been watching and hearing about the presidential elections in the US. Yeah? There were not really debates. I don't know if you saw any of them. What they were was a series of unpleasant innuendos, mudslinging, and misinformation. I'm getting you to think now. As long as there's been politics, truth has been stretched. Okay? But we've entered a whole new era of what is now being called fake news. And this is very, very live. This is the last few months. This is very, very relevant and to your generation. We live in a period in the West, most of the world, in what we call is called post-truth politics. And it's filled through the social media, and it's filled by what I call media soundbite or TV snapshot. So you will all know little bits about Brexit, little bit about Trump, little bit about Clinton, and you'll be trying to form an opinion by a lot of little tiny sound bites and visual images. And I suspect you've not read or thought about it a huge amount, because basically most of America and the UK didn't either. The Brexit vote was won on the back of one brilliant strapline. This is my personal opinion, and I am getting political with you, and you are allowed to in church. I don't know if you saw this bus on the TV. It's a shame it wasn't that strapline, because this would have been fantastic. I'd have been proud of my country. Time for truth. Come clean. The strapline, though, that brought the Brexit vote, I believe, was this one. It says, we send the European Union £350 million a week. That's about 700 million Singapore dollars per week. So you go, that's a lot of money. And the thing was, let's fund a national health service instead. Let's stop sending all that money to Europe and let's fund our ailing health service. Sounds great, doesn't it? Who wouldn't want to vote for that? Trouble is, not true. It is true that all that money went to Europe, but the other truth is most of it came back again. And the terrible lie was, as soon as Brexit won, they said, oh, we can't give any money to the NHS. And then when pushed, one of the leaders said, we never said it. And there it was on the side of a bus that went round the country. Politics of lies. Now, okay, so I'm getting political with you. That's Brexit. Well, the US election campaign made Brexit look tame. Did you see some of the stuff and read some of the stuff? It's the politics of distortion was cranked up. And you see, the point I'm trying to make is that truth and righteousness became the casualty. And it's a serious issue. Do you know that there are points in the US, can't remember what I've got there. So where is the wise man? Where is truth? During the US lead up to the election voting, there's a period of time when at least 50% of social media and Facebook posts were either from fake news or were hoax. And fake news means another website, usually in another country, sending information. At least 50% was false. It's incredible. As the election results were coming through, the top Google search, when you Google searched election results, was a false news site. And it took Google a long time to recognize it and to take it down. When asked about the election results, the Google CEO, when he was asked, do you think this phenomenon of fake news affected the results? He just said, sure it did. So why do I rant about this? A, because it's important to me, but I think it should be important to you as well. Different countries, different continent, same social media, same trend that is happening within the world. And so my message for us here as we're thinking about wisdom is beware. Beware the wisdom of the age. Beware the wisdom of the world. And this is what Paul was saying in his time, in his context. Everybody has an opinion. Everybody had a message. Everybody had something to say. And that is true today on social media. Everybody has a message and is sent in an instant, isn't it? But not every message is true. Not every message is right. Not every message should be accepted. So I want to say to you, seek out information close to the source. Do not start believing everything that you see. You know, there are new fact websites that are now being set up so you can check out. So when you see something, you can check it out. So fact check is in the US. Full fact is in the UK. And at last, Facebook has admitted that it has a responsibility of allowing its technology to be used, because they can't stop fake news coming. So now they have a website that's called Snopes, S-N-O-P-E-S, and you can go to that.com, and it'll tell you if it's hoax or if it's fact. So when you're, and I hope you do, think about things seriously, don't take what your friend posts to you as fact. Do spend time talking and debating and getting wised up about things. Do spend time in your small groups talking about these very, very important issues and seeing what is true and what isn't true. Do get wise. Have I ranted enough? I want to say to you, be wise men and women. hold firm to the foundational Christian values of truth and righteousness and godly wisdom. Hold onto it with all of your might, because truth is very slippery in this day and age. I want to say to you, be a generation that lives in the wisdom of Christ and lives out the wisdom of Christ. Are you with me? Live in the wisdom of Christ and live out the wisdom of Christ in the world. Do not allow the world to shape you. Do not allow the world to conform you to its image. Paul was having to say exactly the same thing 2,000 plus years ago to the people in Corinth and in Rome, in the Roman Greek world. Do not allow the world to shape you into its mold, but transform the world. And this is what the Christian faith should be about. This is why we share our Christian faith, that people might be transformed and the world transformed. This is why we need inspirational Christian preachers and speeches and leaders to shape the world around us in truth and righteousness. Be world shapers. Be world changers. That's your calling. Not everybody has to stand on a chair and do it. But in our own ways. So seek the wisdom of God with all of your heart. This is a lot longer than 8 a.m. Finally, and very shortly, mature in God's wisdom. Verses 6 and 7. There is a wisdom to be discovered, yet among the mature we do impart wisdom. Although it's not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. All of this false news, that'll all pass away. There is a wisdom that will last and a wisdom that we need. And this is what the apostles and Paul was doing, imparting the wisdom of God. So biblical preaching and biblical teaching matters. If I had a Bible in my hand, and I haven't even got my smartphone, but I'd wave it at you. The Bible matters. The wisdom of God matters. Christian doctrine matters. Understanding the truths of the Christian faith matters. Getting our hearts around the wisdom of God and how he wants to live in the world matters. So do not be what I call soundbite Christians. Do not be quoters of comfortable Bible verses. Be those who are prepared to be uncomfortable and let your faith make a difference in the world. Do not have snapshot faith. A snapshot faith, which is like feel-good images. You know, modern-day Christianity, if we're not careful, is just all about the feel-good factor. Christianity is the power of God. So as I come to an end, go in deeper to God's wisdom. Encounter the reality of God's transforming power. And this is all the work of the Holy Spirit. And that's what Paul goes on to. And I think this is my... These things that God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. It is the Holy Spirit that reveals the message of the cross to us. It is the Holy Spirit who reveals the mind of God to us. It is the Holy Spirit that reveals the will of God to us. It is the Holy Spirit who reveals the deep things of God for us. It is the Holy Spirit who empowers us to speak of our faith, to share the message of the cross to others. It is the Holy Spirit who guides us through this confusing world where truth is hard to find at times. It is the Holy Spirit who transforms our lives. It is the Holy Spirit who conforms us into the image of Christ. It is the Holy Spirit who wants to make us world shapers and generation changers. That's my heart for you. That's my prayer for you. Let me pray for us. Lord, would you bring your word home to our hearts? Lord, I pray that you would give us the wisdom that we need to be able to live for you in this world where wisdom and truth can be hard to find at times. Holy Spirit, would you come and enable us to be a people of truth, a people of integrity, a people who are filled with your love and sensitivity, that we might be able to share your love with others. So Holy Spirit, take us in our weaknesses and empower us in our Christian lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.